6:13 will be our song of encouragement. And we encourage someone who has never obeyed the gospel that they will decide this evening to make that decision the right decision. That's the following Jesus and putting Him first and let Him lead him down the paths of righteousness as we live the Christian life every day of our lives. It's good to see the good audience we have this evening. Good that you're here and that you put God first and not let any of the cares of the world keep you from coming this good evening. And that your dedication and commitment to God is one that surpasses the things of this world today. We'll talk about for this evening a lesson that is much needed, because there is a lot of talk about people sometimes saying, well, you know, I'd be a part of the church, but there's just simply too many people who are fake or phony, or what we call hypocrites in the church. And that's one of the things that people are drawn away from, or actually turned away from, obeying the gospel. But, you know, we as children of God, we strive to live the Christian life. And I want to look at tonight, as you see the title of the lesson, Reasons for Being a Real and Genuine Christian. And I believe that's something we're all striving for. I believe tonight especially we understand that our duty and responsibility to God comes first before anything else. And that we really want to go to heaven more than anything else. We will say, I want to be real and genuine in my service to God. And I have to make a candid confession. Really, one of the lessons, the reasons for this lesson was, I know what it's like to pretend to be something that you're not. In my teenage years, after obeying the gospel at a very early age, I was not faithful to the Lord, I have to say. We'll say with some shame and regret in that. And it wasn't until really about 21 years of age that I rededicated my life. And I can say I was not like some. I understand what it's like to come to church and warm the pew and not be totally committed and involved in what you're doing. But that's something that we can change. If we have done that in the past, we can say, you know, that's the way I used to be, but this is the way I'm going to be now, is to serve God faithfully and be a real and genuine Christian, not someone who shows up and wants to claim to being a child of God without the actual sacrifice, without the actual commitment that it takes to truly be a child of God. That's why we're going to study tonight, reasons for being a real and genuine Christian this evening. In our reading, we heard from a brother who read in 2 Timothy 1, he read verses 1 through 5, but I'm going to stick with just verse 5. It says, here Paul was speaking, says, to young Timothy, says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Paul speaking about Timothy, a young man who was full of faith. And Paul gives him the compliment of saying that this is unfeigned faith, or as the version he read from, genuine faith. And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? It's an unpretended, not fake, not phony faith, but it is actual and there. You know, it's all the difference between the world, between actually being something and pretending to be something. You know, like we take a counterfeit bill. You know, take these $100 bills these counterfeiters want to try to imitate and emulate and making phony copies of these bills, because they're worth something, aren't they? A $100 bill is worth something, not as much as it used to be, but actually it's worth something, isn't it? That's why people take the time and dedication to commitment to that, to counterfeiting them. But a counterfeit $100 bill is not worth the same as the real article. And that's what we want to be, a real Christian. We want to be the real article when it comes to living the Christian life, like Timothy was. A good example of what unfeigned faith is all about. And I want to make a distinction. You know, there's one major distinction that generally happens between those who try to fake their way into being a child of God and those who actually are the children of God. And it particularly revolves around how they deal with their sins. How we treat the problem that sin in our lives is, that is the problems that it brings to our lives. First of all, the Bible tells us that we need to repent of our sins. But you know, the real and genuine, they'll do that. They'll repent and put away their sins, but the fake and pretend, they will only cover up. The impenitent, that word simply means someone who's unrepentant or someone who fails to desire to put away their sins. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. The Bible speaks about this matter. The book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Here the Solomon said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And so we want to be of that last part, the ones who forsake and confess our sins, that we are really, we do sin and we need to confess our sins and not try to hide our sins saying, "Well, no, I haven't sinned," but yet and pretend that our sins really aren't there. Because that's what sometimes people who are, you might say, phony try to do. They try to say that I don't sin or I don't have a sin problem. But we all have a sin problem. It's just a reality of living the Christian life. Satan is after us. Satan tries to tempt us to turn away from God. And we need God more than anything else because of that reason. And so we need to be real and realistic about the Christian life. But then also, the real and genuine honestly professes faith. We simply honestly, this is what I am. I'm a Christian, a child of God. This is what identifies me. Now, if the person who is not real and genuine, the one who's fake and pretend, he will be dishonest, claiming to be a child of God and identifying as being a child of God, but is dishonest, is really lying about what their real identity is. Like many in the Bible, like Judas and others, who were at one time maybe faithful to the Lord, but then they were not. Because like Judas, he was a thief. He betrayed our Lord because of the heart. Satan taking care of that and tempting him to do things he should not have done. But then also, the real and genuine have a good conscience. You know why we can have a good conscience before God is knowing that we are simply striving the best we can to serve God. And that's all God expects of us, is if we're doing the best we can, striving to stay out of the sin problem this world has, we're trying to stay out of the corruption this world is destroyed by lust, then that gives us a good conscience. We can put our head on our pillow at night and say, "You know, I've done the best I could for you, Lord. And this is what I am. I'm your servant." But also, when it comes to the fake and pretend, though, they still have guilt for their sins, because most of the time, the ones who are fake and pretend, they have a sin problem they're unwilling to deal with or do anything that the Lord would have them to deal with their sins in the proper way of repentance and prayer to God for forgiveness of those sins. Basically, the fake and pretend try to live two lives. They want one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And that gives them guilt for their sins because of that. And it will not go away until they accept that they've got to be real and genuine and stop the fake and pretense life that they have. But then also the real and genuine puts forth real effort to serve Christ. Their intentions, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do all I can to do the Lord's will, and I know there's times I may stumble. Now I need forgiveness because of the sins I've committed. But then there's the fake and pretend that puts no real effort to serve Christ. We understand what that is, that because they're not willing to be totally committed and do what's necessary to be real in Christ, there's really no real effort there. You see them maybe on Sunday morning, and the rest of the week they're hanging out with the guys doing things that the world does. You know, the rest of the week they live like the devil. And on Sunday morning they expect people to think that they are saints in Christ. And that is sometimes sadly unfortunate reality, that because of this, some will be lost. And we're going to talk about later in the lesson. Some will be lost because of this, because they have not completely dedicated and committed themselves to Christ like they should. But I will suggest to you tonight that we need to be a real and genuine Christian, because God knows the difference. He knows exactly who the fake and pretend are. He knows who the genuine and sincere and those who are striving the best to do the Lord's will. He knows the difference, doesn't he? In Proverbs 15, verse 3, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And that's talking about the fact that God sees and knows everything we do. We sometimes forget that fact, don't we? That's why we need to be reminded from lessons like this, that instead of trying to cover up our sins, like Proverbs 28, verse 13 said, we need to not cover up our sins, But let the blood of Christ cover and take away our sins, not hide our sins. In other words, because there's no hiding place from God. God knows exactly what we've done when we do our deeds. Either the good deeds we do or the evil deeds, as Proverbs 15:3 says. You know, God sees our good works and our evil works. And so He knows exactly. But I'll tell you, one of the problems of mankind is this. And I know that maybe you felt this way too. Forget about this. The fact that God sees and knows what we do. And that when we get off into a place by ourselves and we think no one's looking, that we think because we don't see God, that God does not see what we're doing. The fact is that we can't see God, but He still sees us. And all things are open and naked to the eyes of Him we have to deal with. We must give account to God. And therefore He knows exactly what goes on in the secret places, behind the closed doors, and all that. God sees and knows what takes place. In Psalm 139, here David, you could read the whole psalm. It talks about how we can't get away from the presence of God. It's a good reminder of this very fact, the omnipresence of God. In Psalm 139, I just want to look at that one verse. It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" You know, we can't go anywhere, to the depths of the sea, to the highest mountain, or the farthest reaches of this earth. God still sees and knows what we do. And that presence of God is everywhere. And we simply can't. He knows even the child inside the mother's womb, is what David said in that Psalms 139, telling us we know a child is a child in the womb, don't we? And so all that shows us the presence of God and what He does know. And we must ever be mindful of that fact. Because if we are forgetful of that, then that's when there's the temptation to, well, maybe I'll do this and get away with it. Maybe God won't see me. But yet the Bible reminds us that God does see us. He does know what we do, even in the secret places. And we think about examples of people who sinned, and God saw their sin for what it was. He knew exactly what was going on. Ananias and Sapphira was one who conspired to sin, and they tried to lie to Peter and the Holy Spirit. But they actually aligned to God in the process. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we'll not read that, but we understand the story there. That Ananias and Sapphira had sold a land, and they brought the price of that land. First, it was Ananias who came to Peter. And Peter asked him, "Is this the amount that you sold it for?" And he said, "Yes, it's for such and such." And then, as soon as he did that, Peter recognized what had gone on because the Holy Ghost had told him, or he'd given him this information, that what they were doing was lying. You know, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And therefore, God knew and let Peter know that this was a lie, that was something that was not true. And that's why Peter knew it was exactly what it was. Because, you know, with men, we don't know. People can put on a good face. They can lie to us, and if we're not careful, and we don't understand the difference between a lie, or there may be some that can even do that, fool us, and maybe let us know what they're saying, and it may be one of the most subtle lies, but we wouldn't know the truth from a lie sometimes. But this was not the case. Ananias lied to Peter and the Holy Ghost. And because of that, he lost his life. And then a little while later, his wife came along with the same message, same lie that was told by her husband, because evidently she wasn't with him for some reason. Then she comes back and says the same thing. And then she lost her life. That's why, because God knows the difference between those who are telling the truth and putting on an honest and sincere life and those who are not doing that. And it's evident that for whatever the motivation was of Ananias and Sapphira, maybe they were wanting to be like Barnabas and others who brought the prices of their lands and laid all at the apostles' feet. Whatever the case was. And I believe myself the motivation was they wanted to be looked upon in the eyes of the church as ones who had given all that land, all that money of the proceeds of that, and tried to fool the church into believing that. Well, if that had taken place, you know, that's why God did what He did. If that had taken place, it would have got out that that they had lied and there was some kind of problem there in the church because of that. A scandal there in the church. God did not want that to happen. So therefore, that He took care of that. The insincerity of those two individuals. The dishonesty that they had in coming to Peter and saying they had given all. But then also the Jewish leaders. You know, Jesus could tell these Jewish leaders, like in Matthew 23 or the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, about the prayer and those who would stand on the street corners and would pray long prayers and fast, and they'd keep on all the pretending to fast and to look like they're fasting. Jesus knew exactly that was phony. He knew what was in their hearts. They wanted to be seen of men doing those things. But in Matthew 23, there are some of the most scathing reports of hypocrisy. And Jesus basically said, "You're scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites," is what He called them. And He called them vipers and all this. This was some of the things that Jesus had strong words for religious people. And I believe some of the strongest words of our Lord will be those who are religious, who know better. These religious people should have known better than to take widows' houses and devour them. To simply say and do not like they were doing. And proselytize land and sea and make one twofold the child of the devil, what He said. But then He got to the part where He said, "You wash the outside of the cup and you make it so beautiful. But then and the inside is full of all kinds of debris and all kinds of garbage." Just like the tombs. You know, they would make the outside so beautiful, but the inside would be full of dead men's bones. That's what He likened them to. To those who wanted to look like they were something, but they would not actually be because their insides. You know, our heart needs to be cleansed. Our life needs to be all of what it is in Christ. That includes the whole man, not the outward appearance of man, but also the inward part of man. It needs to be genuine. And that's something that the Jews had a problem with. They could do things and get away with it until Jesus came. At one point, Jesus said, "You have a cloak for your sin, but now I've taken away that cloak." You have no cloak to hide your sins because Jesus had exposed their sins. And now they needed to repent and be genuine. But they were unwilling to do that. They would rather get rid of Jesus than be genuine and sincere and truly the children, the God's people at that time. And so that was one of the problems of the Jewish leaders, was that of not living right with God, not having the good right heart that they should have had. God knew the difference then. And we should take these lessons and understand that if God saw their hypocrisies and He could say everything that they had done, what about us today? You know, He knows what we do today. And maybe He could say things about our lives if we're trying to do that. And trying to hang on to sin and the Lord too at the same time, without giving up sin. But in John chapter 1, verse 47, one of His disciples, named Nathanael, the Bible speaks differently about him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now what is Jesus saying about Nathanael? What is He saying about having no guile within Nathanael? It was the fact that he was not unpretended. He was someone who was genuinely, he would say what he felt and feel that genuinely and sincerely. And that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to say what we mean and mean what we say. And that's what about being real is all about. This idea of guile is trickery, where we try to cover up what we're really doing. And that's really what those who are pretentious, those who try to do things and get away with it, they say, "Well, you know, I don't really want to be real." But Nathanael wasn't like that. Nathanael held to no guile, like children of God today cannot hold to and be accepted in God's sight. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, there's a, you might say, if you've read this before, you may not know exactly what Paul's talking about. And I believe to the best of my ability, he's talking about the sins that we commit that we do not take care of before the day of judgment. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. I believe Paul's talking about some, the fact that there's some men's sins. We don't know. There may be some in the church back then who were hiding the sins, and they didn't know until, maybe we will not know until the day of judgment, that they really weren't what they claimed to be. And so one thing I know about this verse is, God is the perfect judge. He can judge our lives perfectly because He has intimate knowledge with our lives. He knows the number of hairs on our head. That's something I don't even know. But yet God knows. And we cannot fool Him in any way. God knows the difference. Then point number two. I would suggest to you tonight, reasons for being a true and genuine or honest and sincere Christian is because Christ's influence is hindered by someone who is pretending to really be a Christian, especially in the workplace, especially in our family circles. There are people who know us better. They'll know how our lives really are. And they'll know if there is some hypocrisy that needs to be dealt with there. That's why we've got to cleanse ourselves, as James would tell us, purify our hands, and truly be what we need to be. Matthew 5, verse 13. Here once again, this is the greatest verse that talks about our influence, isn't it? It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." No, he's talking about in the negative sense here. He says we're the salt of the earth, and we know what the salt is. It has to have that production. Salt has to be useful. But then what if it loses its usefulness? What if the child of God loses that great influence on others because of a careless life? You know, one of the scariest and most frightful things that in my life is to think that because of my careless life, that I could cause someone not to be interested in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very God's Son who loved us and died for us. You know, that Son of Jesus wants us to have a good influence. I believe every child of God needs to worry about their influence on others. That's why we've got to guard our tongue. That's why we've got to watch our feet where we go. We've got to be careful what we listen to. Be careful what we say to others. Because people watch us. Children of God are in a fishbowl in some respects. We understand that no one can say that no one sees my life because we live in the world, don't we? We're in the world, but not of the world. And that people in the world know that I've got to behave like a child of God, whatever they may think that is. You know, though sometimes the world has an askew idea of what a child of God really is, that we're extremely perfect. But I would say we are forgiven. And when we do stumble, like I said this many times, we need the blood of Christ to make us whole again. And so we've got to remember that people see that, though. And they'll watch the mistakes we make, the sins we make. And they will either be, say, you know, see how we live our lives and be impressed of how we live our lives and say, you know, I want to live like they do because they are honest and sincere about their sins. When we stumble before others, what we need to do is make every step to know this is not the way I live my life. And go to the farthest way and say, this is something that's an intruder in my life. Sin is something that does not dominate my life. But it's something because of my influence that I can actually cause others to not be desirous of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something we've got to be very careful of. That's why we do the things we do in the religion today. Then I would suggest you tonight, because we could do so much good if we would simply be real and genuine. Remember at the beginning of the lesson we talked about the fact that the person who is fake and pretends to be a child of God is really not willing to really do anything for the Lord. Isn't that the case? We know it's the case because people who really pretend, they may do it just for Sunday morning. So, well, boy, I put a lot of effort in it Sunday morning, but I'm not really going to put a lot of effort in Monday through Friday or Saturday. That's why people sometimes, they lack short of really doing anything to upbuild the cause of Christ. You know, there's a lot of things we should do in our service to God. The Bible speaks about the people of God being a people that are zealous for good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, talks about Jesus who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. That's something it says about how we need to live our lives, isn't it? As zealous Christians, those who do much good for the Lord. I believe the Bible would tell us in many places that the Lord is not approving of those who simply do barely enough just to satisfy themselves. The Lord wants us to bear much fruit, is what the Bible said in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus speaks about those who serve Him as disciples and how we must do this, and not just bear a little fruit, but bear a lot of fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch of Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's what we need to realize, is God wants us to bear more fruit. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in Me. And He goes on to say, down in verse 8, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be My disciples. And so we could do a lot of good. Think of how many souls could be saved if we would simply do like we should as a child of God. Be genuine. Be real. Go out and talk to your neighbors about their souls. You know, the person who's fake and pretentious, the one who pretends, rather, is not going to do that. They're not going to put forth the real effort to do that. They're not going to talk to their family because they're concerned about their souls if they're really unconcerned about their own souls. And that's really probably one of the saddest things about those who pretend. They do not care enough about their souls to really be genuine and really be real as God wants us to. In conclusion of the lesson, the last point of the lesson is this. Because heaven is too beautiful to miss, we ought to strive to be real. Because it's only those in the day of judgment who are real that are going to get the prize that the Bible talks about, the crown of life that Paul says unto all those that trust and believe in the Lord. We've got to have that real sincerity, real genuineness there to receive that prize. And going into that day of judgment, can you imagine going in that day if we have not true and genuine faith in the Lord? True and genuine dedication and commitment? How awful it would be that Christ would reject us because we only pretended to be a child of God instead of fully dedicating. Because Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come, John 8 tells us. And so we've got to be real. Put away our sins. Don't live one foot in the church and one foot in the world. But simply get your foot out of the world and both feet with the Lord and following Him. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, through faith, repentance, confession of your faith, and baptism into Christ, you can obey the gospel. Just like the early members of the church did back then, the disciples, when they were told what to do. In Acts chapter 2, they were told, repent, be baptized, every one in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you need to respond to the gospel call tonight,